Begin the current daf, Masechta Shulin daf Samach Vav. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which we had already alluded to this differentiation. B'mai kemiflegi tana de Beirav. What is the machlokes, the difference between the brisa of Beirav, which Rashi says that the first brisa recorded in the previous daf, which was a brisa from Teres Kainim, is called Sifra de Beirav because it was very fluent in all the students. Beirav means the yeshiva, the Beis Medrash, of all the students in the Beis Medrash. In contrast, the other brisa recorded second is the Tana de Beir Bishmal, which was only fluent in the students of Rabbi Shmuel, but the Tana de Beirav, which refers to the Teres Kainim, was fluent by everyone. So that the Gemara asks, what's the difference in the first brisa, the Tana de Beir Bishmal, and regarding the second brisa, that Tana de Beir Bishmal had brought from they were having this machlekes regarding how to interpret the psukim, which was the halacha we're discussing from a Mishnah regarding the grasshoppers, the kosher grasshoppers, and that is the Torah mentions a halacha in that pasuk regarding having the jumping types of feet that they jump with. And then it talks about the four different types, Arba, Salam, Chagav, there were four different types mentioned. And then, by each one it says, Liminehu. So the Tana Beir Bishmal had brought from the word Salam, which was one of the four types, that was seemingly extra. And it's coming to teach us that even a grasshopper, unlike all those four mentioned, that has a long head, an elongated head, will also be kosher. Additionally, he said that the word chagav, that type of grasshopper, is also extra, to exclude the tzartzer, even though it has actually all the four signs of a kosher grasshopper. Contrast, the Tana, the first brisa, said that no, each one is needed to tell you that type. They're not extra. Chagav is not extra. Salam is not extra. So what is the practical difference between the two different brises? Although they're coming at it from a different angle, as we're going to shortly explain, halachically, what's the difference? So we already alluded to this in the previous daf. It's bereshi aruch kemiflegi. The difference between them is regarding if it has a long head, as the Gemara explains the two brises. Tana Beir Rav Savar, the first brise, the one of Teres Kainim, holds that this that it says by each one, when it says the arbe and the chagav, each one says liminehu, that is not, as in contrast to the Tana Beir Bishmal, that word liminehu is not a klal, which if it were, like Tana Beir Bishmal learns it, it would be a klal, because it starts with a general category in the beginning of that pasuk over there, when it talks about whatever has these kartzulim, these jumping feet, and it would be prat, which was the four types of that were specific, and then it would be a klal again, if you learn liminehu, as a general terminology, liminehu, according to their species, including a whole bunch of different things, which then that would include salam and chagav, which would be already ke'ena prat, they would already be similar to those of arba and chargal, and therefore, then there would be extra psukim, again, the way Tana Beir Bishmal learns it. But the Tana Beir Rav does not learn that word liminehu as a klal, so that it should be klal or prat klal. Now, the reason why they don't learn it as two klalim is because the halach of klal prat klal is only if the second general inclusive terminology is similar to the first klal, the first general inclusive terminology. And here they're not the same, because the first klal that the pasuk opens up with is only particular on kara'ayim. That's what the pasuk says. Whatever has those jumping feet. And that's one type of general concept. Now, liminehu, if you would be saying, and this is how the Tana Beir Rav understands this, that it would be a klal, then that would be particular to be, when, let's say liminehu, each one has liminehu. So let's say that of arba, all those chagav, all those have, according to their species of arba, which includes the arba type and all those that share its characteristics, that's the four signs. The wings covering the majority of its body, and the four legs, and so on. So that second klal would be including something that's much more particulars that it's limited to, and in contrast to the first klal, which only requires having the jumping legs. So since they're different klalim, it doesn't learn the liminehu as a klal, because you can't say klal prat klal, the klalim are not the same. So rather, as the Gemara explains, he learns the pasuk as follows. Ashalei kara'ayim, yeah, that's a klal. The pasuk opens up, that grasshopper which has these jumping feet, that sounds like anyone that has just that one sign will be a kosher grasshopper. But then the pasuk continues. It says arba, salam, chargal, chagov. Those are all specific types, species of grasshoppers. Additionally, liminehu. He learns liminehu not as a klal, but as a prat, as a specific. in the context of those four specific types that I mentioned. So what you have is a klal uprat, not a klal prat a klal, because that second klal is not the same as the first klal. But so you have a first a general terminology, then a specific. That midrash shatay nedreshes behen is ein b'chlal elamasha b'prat. That tells you that actually nothing is included in the general category, but that which is mentioned in the specific. Which tells you, demine in, those that are that species, yes, delav demine lai, which is not that species, not, and therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn one from the other, the way Tanu Rabbi Shmuel does, that he says, well, Chagav is extra, and Solom is extra, because you would know that from what's Kena Prat, that it shares these similar characteristics with Arba and Chargal. No, you can't do that, because only what specifically is mentioned, even if it's similar to that, you don't include, because it's a Klal Prat, not Klal Prat, the Klal. Now, however, umarbi the dummy le mishneit studen, but what is included from lemineu is what's similar to on two aspects. In other words, what has the four signs, and also that it does not have long heads. Those are the things we include from lemineu, which are specifics, but it's not a prata klal. So that's why the Tanbei Rav does not include an elongated, a long head. It's only those with a short head, which are similar to those four that I mentioned. In contrast, Tan Rabbi Shmuel Savar, the second brisa held. No, he learns it as follows. Ashaloi crime, the pasuk opens up a grasshopper that has these jumping feet. Well, that's a klal. That's a general concept. Whatever has that one sign, sounds like from the pasuk it's going to be kosher. But then the pasuk continues and says, Arba, Salam, Chargal, Chagav, those are prat. Those are four specific types that are we're saying are kosher. Lemineu, and this is according to their species, that's chazav kol. That's going in the general category again because it's including whatever's according to their species. It's saying whatever shares the characteristic, not just this specific type. So you have klal, uprat, uklal. That midrashat Torah Nidresh, and that attribute that the Torah is expounded upon, it tells us that you can only evaluate and include that which is similar to the specific, but you could include whatever is similar to the specific. Umarbi called the dummy lebechatzad, and therefore we'll include whatever is similar in one aspect to those that I mentioned. So therefore, as we explained this in the previous daf, so salam is seemingly extra. Because you could already know it from the Keina Prat of Arba and Chargal, because it shares the common characteristics of those which are already mentioned, if let's say you didn't mention Salam, and you would already know it. So why does the Torah have to say Salam? So he said, that's extra to include even that which is not mentioned, because it's a ribui of telling you even Reshe Arach is also going to be, if it has the four signs, is going to be considered kosher grasshopper. However, the Gemara asks, as we had explained, that's the reasoning of the Tanan Bei Rav, but how do we understand the Tanan Bei Bishmol? But the first general rule is not the same as the second general rule. The first general rule tells you, the Torah is telling you that which has the jumping legs, that's a kosher grasshopper. Which tells us, the isle achol, what has it you could eat, the lesle loitech, what doesn't have it you can't eat. Yet the last general term is adeshavi ba'ar ba'asim on him, is more limiting. You're saying only if it has the four signs. So how can you have a klal prat a klal if they're different klal? Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, the Tan of the Braisa, Yerushim Rabbi Shmuel, b'chloli aprati kai gavna doin, he actually does qualify that as a bona fide klal prat a klal. Udamina nam b'amma, this that we say in general, throughout Shas, the doin Tan of Rabbi Shmuel, b'chloli aprati kai gavna, that he actually says it's a valid klal prat a klal, because as long as they're both klal, even though they're not the same, will still qualify as a klal prat a klal, is actually mahachet from here that we learn it, because we see that it does expound such a klal prat a klal, and that it's not limited to that they have to be the same klal, as the Tanu Bei Rav, as the Brais and Teres Karanim actually held. Now, Amamar, the Gemara goes to now explain that we had mentioned the previous daf, the words of the Tanu Bei Shmuel, when he was expounding that Chagav and Salam are both extra. You could really only say two of the four species of grasshoppers that were said. And you know from the Klal Prat the Klal, in the Prat, to know that it's okay if it has the four signs. So he said that what do you need Salam for? That's including if it has a long head. And what do you need Chagav for, if it's already included? Oh, to say that it has to have the shame Chagav, in contrast to the Tzartzer that we said, that if it doesn't have the shame, that since it doesn't have the shame Chagav, even though it has the four signs, it's not a kosher grasshopper. Now, then Amamar, then Tana continued and said, well, Ishmei Chagav, now, if we only had the extra word Chagav, which we said that it has to have the name Chagav to be considered kosher grasshopper, though Yochel Imba Kalasiman Halal, so you would think, okay, it's enough just to have the name Chagav, that's how people call it, that's what its real name is, even though it doesn't have these four kosher signs. That's why it has to have not just the extra word chagav, but also the word limine, according to its species, to tell you, no, until it has all these four signs and it's called chagav, only then it's going to be considered kosher grasshopper. And that asks the Gemara. Where would you think to say, if it's just called chagav, but it doesn't have the four kosher signs, then it'd be considered kosher grasshopper? But arba v'chargal ksiv, besides chagav, it says there in the pasuk, the arba type of grasshopper and the chargal. And we know that, as we explained, the Tan Rabbi Shmuel requires it to be ke'ena prat, like this specific, and those arba and chargal have the four signs. So obviously it has to be like the specific, which there's four specifics. How can you think that it wouldn't have to have the four signs as long as it has the name Chagav? And that's what you tell me you need Limineu to say that it does need it. Says the Gemara, Eloi Kesav Salam, if the Pasuk would not have written the specific of Salam, Sukkah the Kamrit, then like you're saying, of course, that would be the question. Kena Prat requires the four signs. How could you think that it's not to need Limineu? But Hashtu Dechsev Salam, and now that we explained already that it says the species of Salam, which we said that's superfluous, because you could know that from the common denominator of Kena Prat of Arba and Chagul. And we said, so what's it for? It's Lebuya Rosh Arach. It comes to include a kosher locust that, even though it has a long head, so Ema Lirbi Nami Kolduhu. So then that's why we would have thought to say that, yes, even if it's not similar to those specifics, but rather having just one kosher sign, we would have thought, yeah, it would be valid, even though it doesn't have all four. Why? Because we already see from Salam that it doesn't have to be exactly like those specifics mentioned in all areas, for the fact that we said that all of them have a short head, and yet from Salam is saying it's kosher even if it has a long head. So maybe we'd think that, okay, as long as it's similar even in one sign, it wouldn't have to have all four signs. Kamash Malam, that's why you need Lemineyu to tell you by Chagav that no, it's not enough just to be called Chagav, and additionally, it's not enough to have just one sign similar. It has to have all four signs. From Solomon, it says it has four signs, but additionally has a long head, but it has to have all four signs. Now, the Gemara asks a different question. Maishna Hasam, why was it different over in the first brisa of Teres Kainim? The Amrit that you said, Solomon, this says in Teres Solomon, so the time the brisa explains, they're Russian. That's the name that was used in the Talmudic times, that it's called Russian, that type of grasshopper. And Chargul that it says in Teres is a Nipo. Now, Maishna Hacha, why is it different over here in the second brace of Tan Rabbi Shmuel that actually says the flip? The Amrit, you say, Salam is a Nipal, which the first brace said that's Chargal is Nipal. And here he's saying Chargal is a Russian, which the first brace said Salam is Russian. So says the Gemara, it's not a difficulty. Marki Asri, Marki Asri. Each Tana was saying according to his locale. Meaning, the Tana de Beirab that says it's Russian is the Nipal of the Tan Rabbi Shmuel. And the Russian of Tan Rabbi Shmuel is the Nipal of Tan Rabbi Rav. Meaning, according to both of them, they both agree that Solom is a type of grasshopper that does not have a tail, and Chargal is the one that does have a tail. It's just that the, so to speak, the English word, or the Persian word, or the Aramaic word, the word that was being used was just different words, but they both agree what type of grasshopper they were talking about, and therefore they're not really disagreeing, they just had different words to describe Solom and Chargal, but they both agree what that actually was in reality, in its scientific anatomy. Now, moreover, Rashi says that these grasshoppers that we're talking about that are kosher do not need halachic slaughtering, because the pasuk mentions them after fish, as Rashi defines the pasuk that talks about zeis teres habehema, which refers to animals, va'oif means oif and not a sheretz, and ha'oif means even the small types of birds, and then it goes on to the pasuk to say, and kol nefesh ha'chaya remeses b'mayim, which what's in the water, that's the fish, and then when it says the kol nefesh ha'sheretz ala'aretz, that's the chagavim, we're talking about that it's the kosher species, and therefore, since it's mentioned after fish, and just like fish does not require slaughtering, so if it's mentioning after that, it's also telling us that grasshoppers do not need to be slaughtered when they're eaten. Now, the Gemara continues with the halacha of the Mishnah. The ubedagim, which we're talking about the kosher signs of different creatures regarding fish, is called sheyeshli snapper. Whatever has fins that it swims with, and that's how it swims on the surface of the water, v'kaskesis, and scales which are attached to the body much more than fins, because you can't really move them unless one peels it off by hand, contrast the fins, the fish can move it at will. If it has scales and fins, then that's going to be the signs of a kosher fish. Now, talking about learning the braisa, that ainly akshav, let's say it doesn't have the signs of a kosher fish now, but va'as legad lachazman, it can end up growing them at a later point in time. Kugoyin hasultanis, which is a small type of fish, which Rashi says is tunina, The afyan, or the afyan, it's permitted, even though you don't have it right now, but it's the type of fish that has it. It just grows at a later point in time. It's kosher. And so too the other way. Yeshle aksham. Let's say the fish in the water right now has fins and scales. But va'asid la'ashirin b'shosha ilman ma'im is going to end up having it fall off when it's going to be taken out of the water. Kugain, for example, like as a Ketin Tamid Beis, akunas, vafunas, and kisiftias, and vaachsiftias, and vaatunas, which these are all Persian names of different types of aquatic creatures. Harezim mutter, they're permitted because since they do have them, even though when we take it out, we don't see the scales, but it shakes it off when it gets taken out. But since it has those two signs, whether it's going to have or it had, it's permitted, it's a kosher fish. Now, related to this halacha, it's non-hasim. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet Nida that tells us, kol sheyesh lekaskeses, any fish that has scales, yesh lesnapper, it has fins. Now, but v'yesh, yesh lesnapper, there are those fish that have fins, but v'ein lekaskeses, it doesn't have scales. As the Gemara explains, what's the relevancy of that Mishnah Masechet Nida? Yesh lekaskeses, v'yesh lesnapper, if it has scales, which we said then automatically has fins, so dagtar, that, as we said, is the sign of a kosher fish. Yesh leisnapper ve'en lekaskeses, but those that have fins, and which is that type of a tail that comes out on the top of the fish and it moves with, or somewhere else, but ve'en lekaskeses, but it does not have scales, which is that scaly type of thing on the body of the fish. So if it has fins and not scales, so dag tami, that's a non-kosher fish. Now the Gemara wonders, mechti, let's see. As we see from that Mishnah Masechtas Nida, a kaskeses kasamchinan. Really what we rely on is scales. Because you said in Masechtas Nida that if it has scales, then it has fins. Now, we obviously don't rely on fins because we said even non-kosher fish have fins, but not necessarily scales. So, lichter rachmoni kaskeses, but lichter snapper. Let the Torah only say if a fish has scales, it's a kosher fish, and doesn't have to say about fins, because you said if it has scales, it has fins. And fins is not what makes it kosher, because if it has fins and not scales, it's not kosher. So why does the Torah say scales and fins? Says the Gemara, you're right, but ikas rachmana kaskeses v'le kasev snapper. Had the Torah only written that the sign of a kosher fish is kaskeses, and it would not have written snapper, so havamina, I would have said, my kaskeses, what are kaskeses? I would have said, that's snapper. That's the fin that it swims with. And then we would have came to say it's kosher, v'fil adag tame. Even the non-kosher fish, which is only fins and not scales, we would have said that's kosher. So kasev rachmana snapper v'kaskeses, so therefore the Torah writes both of them to tell you that obviously one of them then means fins and one means scales. To say that, because yeah, it has to have scales, but you're right, you don't have to say fins, it just, had we said only kaskeses, we would have thought that refers to fins. However, on this answer, the Gemara asks, but, v'hashle the kasev rachmana snapper v'kaskeses. Okay, fine. Now that the Torah writes both kaskeses and snapper. Mimai de kaskeses lavushuhu, we do know that kaskeses is something that clothes the fish. That the Tana, the Mishnah, was explaining that what are kaskeses? It's something that's permanent onto the body of the fish, which is what we're calling scales. How do you know that it even means scales, even now that it says snapper vis kaskeses? Obviously, it's from the Pasuk, the Siddur says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk says regarding Goliath, the mighty warrior that the Jewish people had to contend with, says Vesirion kaskasim, and that an armor of mail, which is like how knights have that, which is similar to what scales are on the fish, with this armor that they would wear made out of metal, who lovish he was wearing. Now, since it's obvious from that pasuk that kaskeses is a lavush, is a garment that's scaly, which is tough on the exterior, so v'lich t'vechem on the kaskeses. So then we're back to the question. The Torah could have just written kaskeses, because really it's on that pasuk that we're relying. So now also, I would still say that what's kaskeses? I wouldn't say that, like the Gemara was answering, that kaskeses is snapper. So write only kaskeses, v'lich t'vechem. Again, we're back to the question. You don't have to write snapper, because we know from the pasuk of Shmuel Aleph that kaskeses means scales. That doesn't mean fins, because that wouldn't translate in that pasuk over there. So why do you have to write snapper in the Torah? So Amr Bavo, Bechein Tan Rebbe Shmuel, so to his Torah in the Brisa of Shiva Rebbe Shmuel, a pasuk in Yeshaya, that the pasuk opens up by saying, Hashem desires because of his righteousness, Yagdol Torah v'yadar, he increases the Torah and he makes it mighty, whereas Tosafot explains, he says, you're right, the Torah increased different reasonings and sources for us to know what is kaskeses. You're right, Had we only written kaskesis, as we know from the pasuk Shmuel Aleph, we would know that it refers to something that is clothed with. But we said also additionally snapa v'kaskesis again, which is a double indicator because yeah, maybe we just say kaskesis, we'd think it's something else. But we're saying snapa v'kaskesis, so then we know okay, one of them is the fins and the other one is the scales, and we didn't really have to write it because we would know from the pasuk Shmuel Aleph. But that's yadu tarva yadu. The Torah is increasing in its words to give us more might in this understanding of the signs of a kosher fish. Now, talking about the Braisa, continuing on these halachas, Mimashba Shenemar, from the fact that we understand from the Pasig, that tells us, Ochel Eshe Yeshloi, that you should eat the fish that have these two signs. Meaning, there's the Pasig that says, Kol Eshe Loi Snape Bekaskeses B'mayim, whatever has scales and fins in the water, Oisam Toichelu, those are the fish that you eat. Now, when it says Oisam, them that you eat, that sounds like it's exclusionary terminology, which tells you, but if it doesn't have those two signs, then you can't eat it. Which, as we're going to shortly see, that's what's called a lava ba mechlal asay is asay, meaning a negative prohibition that's a derivation from a positive commandment. It itself, that negative prohibition, is actually qualified as an isra asay, as one would be violating a positive commandment. But one thing is, shemeani, what I understand from that pasuk is, so al teichla she'enloi. If it tells you eat those ones, I obviously could derive, well, don't eat those that don't have those two signs. Now the question is, mimash b'shenema, from the fact that the next pasuk says, al teichla she'enloi, don't eat that which doesn't have the two signs, because the pasuk continues and says, that which doesn't have, don't eat. Shemeani, so I could obviously derive that ochel eshe yeshle, so eat the one that does have the two signs. So the question is, v'lo mashana, so why is the pasuk repeating it? I know the derivation either way from both pesukim. Says the Gemara, yes, but lavar love ba'asei b'leisasei. The Torah is coming to have you violate a positive commandment and a negative commandment. The first pasuk, you're violating a positive commandment. Second pasuk, explicitly telling you negative prohibition that if one would eat a fish that doesn't have the two signs, he's violating an asei and a leisasei. Now, continuing on these pesukim, The Braisa says, Toichlu mikol ha-shebamayim. The first pasuk in the Yikur Yudal of Pasuk Tes starts off that SZ says, this toichlu you should eat, mikol ha-shebamayim, from whatever is in the water. So the question is, matam aloimer, what is this pasuk teaching us when it says, oh, this you should eat, when it says toichlu? The thing is, the end of the pasuk already tells us, oisam toichelu, which is actually from there where you learn out that the permissibility is that which has the two signs, and that the isra say, the derived violation of the pasuk commandment, when you don't have it. So the question is, when the pasuk opens up, the first time it says the word taichlu, what's it coming to teach us? It should have just written, ezeh mikol asher b'mayim, which the pasuk there says, ezeh taichlu. This you should eat from whatever's in the water, whatever has snapper, v'kaskasas, in the water, in the seas, and in the streams, that you should eat. So it says the word teichelu two times. What's the purpose of saying the word teichelu the first time? Just say ezeh and skip the word teichelu. This, whatever's in the water, whatever has scales and the fins in the water, that's what you eat. Why do you have to say the word teichelu in the beginning? Now, as Rashi points out, one would ask on the Brites' question that to the contrary, the first teichelu is the one that you should leave, because you need to have in the pasuk the word that this is what you should eat. And the second teichelu is the one that should have been the question to say, what's that necessary for? That's redundant. And that should be the one, as we're going to see, that we're going to use for the exposition. But as Rashi points out, and as we'll explain later on, then actually we wouldn't have anything more to expound from the second teichelu, because the exposition is only valid if it's from the first teichelu. So the Braisa is already alluding to its answer, what's called Shelas Chacham Chatzi Tshuva. Half the answer is already here in the question that he's posing it on the first teichelu. And that's the question, what's that coming to teach us? So that says the Braisa, because Sheyachal, because you would think as follows. Hayil Vehitir, since, as we're going to expound later on, since the Pasig is permitting what's called a Sheretz Hamayim, an aquatic creature that's in the water, even without the kosher signs of an aquatic creature, which we said are scales and fins, in these two psukim, which one is b'mefurish, one is explicit, and one is v'hitr b'stam, one permits it unspecified, as the Gemara in the next daf is going to elaborate which one is mefurish, which one is stam. But either way, there's two psukim that permit a sheretz hamayim, even not a fish, even some other land creatures, but that the larvae, the sheretz was born in the water itself, that actually permits it, even though there's doesn't have the two signs of kosher aquatic creatures of fins and scales. Now, since you have these two psukim that are permitting the sheretz hamayim, one again explicit and one non-explicit. So I would have thought to say, which is a halacha that we call yilmid sasim in amafurish. Okay, so you learn out that which is non-specific from the one that is specific, that is explicit. And then I would have said, ma keshehitir b'mafurish, just like when it permits it explicitly. Lohitir, it doesn't permit it without the scales and fins. Ella, it's only permitting these shkatzim that grow in the water, these vermin that grow in the water, only if it was bekalim, the water that, like, for example, worms that originated in vessels of water, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, where do you see from the Pesukim that we're permitting shratzim that don't have scales and fins in the water in the vessel? But that we'll see, that was explicitly inferred from the Pasuk. Now, but since that's the one that's Mefurish, so I would think that Yilmud Sasim in Mefurish. Af Keshet Bestam, so too when the Pasuk is permitting it in the unspecified Pasuk, Lahitra El Bekalim, that it would only be permitting it if it originated in vessels of water. But other bodies of water, for example, like by canals and ponds, which those are flowing sources of water, which are similar to what's mentioned in the Pasuk of Yam and Nechalim to streams and to the seas, or even pits and caves that are bodies of water in the ground, which are not exactly the same as seas and streams, because they don't have a flow of water. But still, even there, I would tell you that there it's not permitted without scales and fins. Minayin l'rabbis barish chichin ma'aris, and this is what the Gemara, the Brice is coming to say, how do you know to include even pits and caves of water, shesheich v'sheisim, and that a person could bend down and drink from that pit, ve'ein enimna, and he doesn't have to stop from drinking even with the worms and the larvae that's in the water, since it's not the same as the yam and the cholim that the Torah tells you that's where you have to have the two simanim of the scales of fins, in contrast by barish chichin ma'aris, that then you don't have to have the two signs. That's what the beginning of the pasuk is teaching us, that the words toichlu mikol hasheh b'mayim, that the extra word toichlu is coming to say that you could eat whatever is in the water, including if it doesn't have the two kosher signs. Now, and this is what we had alluded to earlier, in contrast, the toichlu at the end of the pasuk, that you would not be able to expound, as the Brice is saying, as a permissibility. To the contrary, we actually would expound it as a prohibition, because the end of the pasuk says oisam toichelu. That's how it ends over there at the end of the pasuk, which is that word teichelu. Oh, those you could eat. And what's that going? What do you mean those you could eat? It's going on the words in the pasuk of snap of kaskesis, if it has scales and fins, which would tell us, but if it doesn't have scales and fins, you cannot eat it. In contrast, teichelu in the beginning of the pasuk, that you could expound by itself, which is that because the snap of kaskesis, you could say, is going on the end of the pasuk of yamim and nechalim. And the way we're interpreting the pasuk according to the Brice is as follows. When it opens up, you could eat whatever's in the water, that's saying even without the signs of a kosher fish. For example, like in other bodies of water that are not yam and nechalim, like barish tichin maris, like if it's just pits of water. Then the pasuk continues, and kol asher lo yisnap v'kaskeses b'mayim, and whatever has scales and fins in the water, b'yamim u'nechalim, in the seas and in the streams, oisim techelu, but if it doesn't have scales and fins, we're in the seas and in the streams, which have streams of water, that's we need the simonim. But in pits of water, doesn't need to have. You could actually eat it, even without the signs, the kosher signs. That's what the word techelu in the beginning teaches us. Now, the Gemara clarifies, heichen hit to bekelim. So we were explaining that we said, okay, there's a pasuk that's mata b'mefurish, which we're explaining is only permitting us water, the larvae, the shratzim that are germinate in vessels of water, which that's what the Gemara is asking now. From which pasuk do you see by the mefurish that it permits that which grows in a vessel of water, which we said, but how would we know it's even in a pit of water in the ground? In contrast to, let's say, those that have a stream, that then it's forbidden if it doesn't have the two signs. So he said, and how do you know to even include him in the pit? That we said, oh, that's what the first techilu comes to include. That's the one that's the sasim. But that's what the Gemara is asking. Now, where do you even see that shratzim were ever permitted, even that in kelim? So that's the Gemara, the chsiv, because the pasuk says, ezet toichlu mikol hasheh b'mayim b'gomer. So he said that this is what you should eat, whatever is in the water, which the pasuk continues and says, whatever has scales and fins, that's what you could eat. Now, says the Gemara, what you see from the pasuk is b'yamim u'b'nechalim hu. It's only by the seas and the streams. That's where the pasuk is saying oisam, that only that has scales and fins. What that's coming to exclude is that The chiis le achol. Okay, if it has the two signs, you could eat it. The less le loy teichel. But if it doesn't have, you can't eat it. But that's only biyam nuchalim that has to have the two signs. Habakelim. But if it's in vessels, it's not in the seas, it's not even in the ground, then avagav the less le achol. Then even if it doesn't have the two signs, you could eat it. That's where we know in the vessel that which is hitte b'mefurish shratzim without the two signs. Now that is the Gemara. That's the one that's hitte b'mefurish in kelim. Ema, I could tell you actually the opposite way. That actually, what you could infer from the pasuk is bekelim regarding to vessels avagav the islay. That actually, even if it has the two signs loy teichel, that actually then you actually cannot eat it. Why? Because that pasuk is by the permissibility. That was the beginning of the pasuk. It sounds like that we're forbidding it from even what's permitted, because the pasuk sounds like beyama b'nechalim. If it's in the seas and in the streams, that's when you can eat a kosher fish. But if it originates in vessels, then even if it has the two signs, you can't eat it. So maybe it's actually a stringency, not a permissibility. No, you cannot entertain to say that. Because by the following pasuk, when it talks about the prohibition of don't eat that which does not have the two signs, the pasuk says, v'chol asher ein lo yisna b'kaskes, whatever does not have the scales, the fins and the scales, b'yam and cholim, in the seas and in the streams, mikol sheret samayim, from whatever is a aquatic creature in the sea. So there, it also says yam and cholim, which, if it's saying the seas and the streams, that's obviously excluding if it's in the vessel. Now here, obviously, what we're excluding vessel from is what the context of the pasuk is, which is from the prohibition. The pasuk is talking about a prohibition and excluding it from that. So obviously then the ratio of the first pasuk, when it also mentions Yam Nechalim, and that's what the Gemara is proving, and which is excluding Kalim, is also obviously then going to be excluding it from the prohibition like we're proving from the second pasuk. So then we have to say that when it says Oysam Teichelu, which that's what excluding that which does not have the two signs, the way you have to interpret it is as follows. B'yamu b'nechalim, that in the seas and in the streams, that's where you could eat it, that if it has the two signs, and the less loy teichel, but if it doesn't have the two signs, then you can't eat it. But the inference is, but if it's in the vessels, avagav the less loy achol, then even if it doesn't have, then you could eat it. And that's the two psukim that we mentioned before, which have the sasim and the mefurish, which have these two different psukim, which are permitting the shratzim that grow, that one is explicit in the kelim, and one we're inferring that we would have thought is a kelim. But then we're saying from the word teichelu to include even if it's not a kelim, even just in pits, which Gemara in the next davar is going to explain which pasuk from these two psukim, one of the positive and one of the negative, is the one that's coming to say explicitly and one that's non-explicit to permit shratzim that are on the kelim. But that's what we said. And then teichelu comes to include even if it's not in kelim itself. However, the Gemara asks now on the derivation of the Braisa regarding how we know that the Shratzi Hamayim are kosher, like we said, not only in the Kalim, which is the Mefurish, but even in the Stam one, the unspecified one, which we know from the extra word, Toichelu, that you could eat, that's going to include even if it's in Boirish, Shichin, and Aris, and types of pits, that even if it doesn't have the signs of what's a kosher aquatic creature, like you have by the fish, of the scale and the fins, one is still going to be able to consume them. So, on that as the Gemara, why we're learning enough next to word Teichelu, but Ve'emo, you should expound the Pasuk as follows. When it starts off in the Pasuk, it's Ezeh Teichelu, that this you could eat Mikol Asher Bamoyim, whatever's in the water. So that's a klal. That's a general category. It sounds like anything that's a sheretz, that's a creature that's in the sea, requires Simonim, which is any water. But then, Be'yam ben Chalim Prad, then the Pasuk continues, it says, whatever has scales and fins, that's in the water. What type of water? In the seas and in the streams. So that's a prat, that's a specific, saying, well, what type of body of water are we talking about? Only yam nechalim. So then you have what's known as a klal prat. You have a general category, something all bodies of water, then as a specific. That means the Torah's nedrashas ben is ein b'chlal mashav prat. Whatever we said in the category, in the general category, is only what we specified, which is yam v'nechalim in, that the halacha is limiting only for the seas and the streams, but even the itzin v'charitzin loy, but that even these canals and ponds, then there the halacha does not require the two simanim. And for sure, b'irish, sheikh and maris, which is even more dissimilar than the seas, because it doesn't even have streaming, that's for sure that it's going to be kosher. So the question, the Braisa is, why does it have to learn from Teichlu, from Kalasha B'mayim, to include Bayrus, to say, oh, there the Shratzi Amayim are going to be Kashi Ibunat, Snap V'Keskeses. To the contrary, you should say even more, and you don't need Teichlu to tell it, you should know from the Klal Prat of the Pasuk itself, that it's only for the Yam and the Nechalim, what it says, but actually even the Itzim V'Charitzim, which are somewhat similar to the seas that the waters flow, but they're not those bodies of water that the seas and the streams are. They're smaller, that even that it should be valid for the Shratzei Mayim without Snap of the Keskeses. Says the Gemara, no, because B'mayim Chaza B'kal. This is not a Klal Prat. This is a Klal Prat to Klal, because it says two times in the Pasuk there the word B'mayim. You have Kolashe B'mayim, and you have Kolashe L'Snap of the Keskeses B'mayim. So you have two Klalim, so you have a Klal Prat to Klal. Now, before we explain what that result is, the Gemara first asked, but Hanitre Klali Desmichel Adotin, and how could that be Klal Prat to Klal? Here the two klalim are near each other. And that is, you have a bamoyim, and you have bamoyim, and they're before the yam and the chalim. So how could that be a klal prat to klal? It's a klal prat. Ravina, he says, Kedamri b'marav, like they say in the Western Eretz Yisrael, wherever you find two general categorical concepts near each other. So what you do is, you continue to type of samach zayin and aleph, hitl prat. You insert the specific which is near them, after them, and you place it beinayim between them. V'dayinim klal prat to klal, and you actually then qualify it like a klal prat and klal, which that law is that you include whatever is ke'ein haprat. So that's why we're explaining in the Braisa, had we not had the extra first word toichelu, we would have included whatever is ke'ein haprat, similar to the specific, which would have even included bayrais, which is at least similar to yamim and the chalim, that there are waters that are in the ground. So it's similar somewhat, and we would have included it to say that it's prohibited if it doesn't have snap of the keskeses. But now that we have that extra first word toichelu, so we expound as follows. Bimayim, that first time it says b'mayim is a klal. B'yam and chalim, that's a prat. B'mayim, chaz of a kol. Klal a prat a klal. What is? Iyat adon elikein a prat. Which is ma prat mefor, it's just like the specific is explicit. That's mayim noivim, it's water that flows. That's what the sea and streams are. Av kol mayim noivim, also all that water flows, as the Gemara explains. So my rabbi, what are we including in this kein a prat of av kol, also all waters that flow? We're including charitzin, which are canals, which are long and narrow, and venitzin and ponds, which are wide, like those that they make for the ponds of fish, that they are li'isur, they're forbidden because they're ke'en aprat, that the water flows. My meat, and what are we excluding? Because whenever you have a ke'en aprat, we're obviously excluding something, has to be only including what's similar to the specific. We're excluding bayrish, sheikh, and maris, latere, that they're not including the prohibition of requiring scales and fins, that larvae, those shrotzim, even if they don't have the scales and fins, that's going to be permitted to consume them in those bodies of water that are still waters, even though they're in the ground. But that is Gemara, but Veima, why? Say, maha prat mefor, is just like the specific is explicit. That's maim gedeel magabi karkam. Yeah. Besides the fact that the water flows, but it also is that these are bodies of water that are in the ground. So maybe say, Av kol mayim gedel magabe karka, also all waters that are, its growth is in the water. So although it's not similar to the specific in all aspects, but at least in one facet it is, we should include it because the Tana of the Braisa, the Gemara is assuming, holds that the second klal is the primary, which we had previously explained when you have a prata klal, really including everything, even that's not really so similar. So my rabbi, so maybe what are we including to say is prohibited if it doesn't have the scales and fins? Is that Philip Irish chicken Maris Lisuru, that they're actually forbidden even in still waters? Umay me, then what are we excluding saying that is going to be kosher even without the scales and fins? Is meat kalim, or maybe only excluding vessels that are not even in the ground? So how do you know to say that now the way we're qualifying is klal prat klal based on the emendation of the Teichelu, as the Gemara is actually going to given its answer, that we're actually saying that even Bayrish, Shechem, and Aris are permitted. Says the Gemara, in Cain, if it would be the way you're qualifying the Klal, part of the Klal right now, then Techelu, my Hanile, then what would Techelu be telling us? Even without Techelu, we would not be prohibiting the Shratzei Hamayim without the scales and fins in vessels, because that's not included in the prohibition of the Klal, part of the Klal, which is Cain, Prat, because it shares no similarities to seas and streams. It doesn't flow, it's not in the ground. So obviously, if you have techelu, that's an extra terminology coming to include something that's permitted, as we proved before, that's including in the permissibility, not in the prohibition, we're obviously coming to include at least bayrais, and to tell us that here in this situation, the ke'en prat is only going to be prohibiting what's charitzim and the itzin, which is at least similar in two aspects, in the fact that it's in the ground and that it flows, but regarding the bayrais, shechem, and as we explained, that the shratzei hamayim are going to be permitted to drink them without even any qualms that there are worms inside the water, that's still going to be something that's permitted when it's still in the ground.